2 Samuel 13. I just joined my son's flag football team. It's not really his, it's just the one he was on last year. And they just started having little practice games, and the season starts, I think, in a few weeks or whatever. But I said, you know, I'm probably not going to be able to play till January because when I went on the fast, I got out of shape, and I said, I got to get time to get back in shape. But they had a practice game yesterday. So Friday, he's like, hey, Dad, are you going to come play with us on Saturday? So I said, all right, I'll go out there and play. I knew I was going to get hurt, but I'll go out there and try to fake it a little bit. And flag football, you know, obviously it's not tackle football, but when you play tackle football all your life, it's hard to run up on somebody and stop. It's just not really a natural thing to do. It's natural to take them down to the ground or, you know, or have a collision of some sort. And I played like 5 years ago for a season with some other friends, and I remember the first time this guy caught the ball in front of me, and I ran up to him, and I'm running like normal, full speed. And when I got about here, I'm like, I'm not supposed to hit him. But how do I get the flag without grabbing him? So I just kind of went up and just felt all over him, trying to get the flag. You know, I didn't know what to do, you know, because I was just like, there's got to be body on body, which is what I'm so used to. So, you know, I had to get used to just kind of grabbing. I still haven't figured it out, to be honest with you. So yesterday we're at the game, and I was playing defense and offense, and one of the plays, I went out for a pass, and I went into the middle, and he threw the ball real high. So I jumped up, you know, 20, 30 feet in the air to get the ball. And there was birds up there. It was all distracting. I was trying to get a, you know, feathers were flying around. And when I was coming down, and by the way, we were playing this team of mostly Marines. And whoop. and I go out there, and this one guy with no shirt on, he's got black stuff under his eyes, a bandana around his head, and I'm thinking, oh, this dude's like on Rambo, he's gonna kill somebody out here. And he happened to be the one guy on the team that goes to the rock. He goes, hey, Pastor Miles, how you doing? And I'm like, man, put a shirt on, brother. So, but you know, he was a cool guy, but you know, he didn't have a shirt on. So I'm running over the middle, and I happen to go up, like I said, you know, real high, and I'm coming down. And all of a sudden, he hits me. I mean, blows me up. And I fall down. And the first thing that hit the ground is my face. No lie. My face goes right into the car, to the AstroTurf. And all that black, those little black Nike stuff that they chew up in the, it all goes in my mouth. And I'm spitting this stuff out for like a minute. And I can hear him going, I'm sorry, Pastor Miles. I'm sorry, Pastor Miles. And I'm thinking, Pastor, nothing. You just jacked me up, man. This is flag football. You ain't supposed to do that. So I get up, and I'm like, I mean, my lip felt like it was all upside down. It was just my whole face was all jacked up, and everyone's looking at me going, ew. And I'm like, am I bleeding? They're like, well, kind of. And I, like I said, I'm spitting this stuff out for like 5 minutes. Well, flag football, one of the rules is that you're not supposed to hit anybody. Everything has rules, but so does love. Everyone say love. There are rules to love. Love is not about doing what you feel. Matter of fact, love has nothing to do with feeling. There are feelings involved, but it has nothing to do with it. And when I say nothing to do with it, is that your love is not determined by what you feel. It determines by your commitment to help somebody obey God and your commitment to obey God yourself. In this story, we're going to look at a guy who's going to rape his half-sister. David is king. He has a bunch of wives, and one of his wives has a son named Absalom and a daughter named Tamar, and another wife has a son named Amnon. Amnon is going to rape his half-sister. And Amnon is going to say in this story that he loves his sister. But we're going to realize and learn that he doesn't love her. He lusts her. And there are many relationships that people have. They think they're in love, but really they're in lust. You are in love with the idea that you can have sex. You're in love with the idea you have a girlfriend, but you don't really love her or you don't really love him necessarily because you're not really committed to helping them obey God at all costs. Matter of fact, look in your notes. There's a definition that we use for lust and love. It says, lust seeks to satisfy self at the expense of others because lust wants to take or what lust wants to get. Lust desires to satisfy self. Everyone say self. Because lust wants to get. Lust wants to take. Lust is all about me. It is not about you. Love, on the other hand, wants to please others or help others obey God at the expense of self, because love wants to give. Love wants to please others at the expense of self because love wants to give. It's the opposite. Lust is about me. Love is about you. If I say I love you, and by the way, I don't know all of you, and I probably won't know all of you ever, but it doesn't mean that I can't say I love you, because I do. What that means is that I am committed to helping you obey God even at my expense. I want to help you obey God. And my expense might be you don't like what I say, which happens all the time. I get emails every day. That's not my goal. My goal is not to be liked. My goal is to obey God and to help you obey God. And hopefully one day you'll go, yeah, it was right. Not Miles was right, but the word was right. I just happen to be telling you what it says. And so love says, I'm going to risk making you mad. I'm going to risk making you an enemy, but I have to tell you the truth, because if I really love you, I'm going to do that for you, because it's not about me, it's about you. But if I lust you, which, by the way, doesn't always have to be a sexual thing. You could lust is a strong desire to please self at the expense of someone else, however you want to please yourself. Then it's all about me, and I'll tell you what you want to hear. I'll manipulate you. I'll lie to you, because now it's all about me. Those are the two different things. In all your relationships, and let's just talk dating and married. How many of y'all are married here? How many of y'all are single? Does that mean you're happy to be single, or does that mean you just want someone to notice that you're here? I'm just asking. Both, right? Both. You know, there's animals in the wild kingdom that when they're single, they walk around and do stuff. That's how they get noticed. So I didn't know if that's what y'all were doing. Okay. Just checking. You should study the courting habits of the animal kingdom. They do all kinds of things. They dance. There's two gazelles. Here's how they mate. Like, this is one gazelle, I'm the other, and they dance together like this. That's how they kind of check each other out. Like, you know, can I get your number? You know, where you live? That kind of stuff. So anyway, some of y'all single, y'all, in your relationships, married and single, some of your relationships are going to be based on lust, where someone's going to say to you, I love you, when in fact, they lust you. You do not want to be in a relationship based on lust ever. There are married people who are in relationships based on lust. There are married people who have very dysfunctional relationships. Those relationships, they may last, but they will never become what God can make them, as long as they're based on lust. And what that means is, as long as they're based on me getting my needs met at your expense, instead of me being focused on pleasing you at my expense. And if you meet somebody, you want someone, by the way, I'm a Christian, I go to the Rock, let's go out, okay, stop, tell me what it means to love somebody. 1 John 5:3 says, to love God is to obey God, okay? So if someone says, I love you, you want that person to understand, me loving you means helping you obey God at my expense. That has to be at the foundation of your relationship. If that's at the foundation of your relationship and you live that, you will not get a divorce. You will be happy. You will have passion until the day you die, because that's the way God designed it. And then, by the way, you have to do that, though. Can't just say it. You got to do it. And if you do that, you'll be good. You'll be good. Okay, let's read the story. Chapter 13, 2 Samuel. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. Everyone say Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Say loved her. You be the judge if what he feels is love, and then you be the judge if you've ever experienced this with a guy or a girl. And by the way, girls can play these same games, not at the same frequency as guys, because we're wired differently in general, but there's she-devils out there just as long as he-devils. Wow. Amnon was so distressed over his sister that he became sick. Everyone say sick. For she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. Look at number one in your notes. Lust breeds sickness, while love breeds health. If you ever heard someone say, I'm lovesick, or love is making me sick, love does not make you sick. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind, Love bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. The Bible says that God is love. Those things do not make you sick. What makes you sick is not getting what you want. That's what makes you sick. And you want something really bad, and you're not getting it on time, so you are frustrated, you are sick to your stomach. Whatever it is. But that's not love, that's lust. Now, does it mean that if you haven't seen your wife in 5 years and or five whatever days or whatever and you miss her, that's a different thing. But it still boils down to, and by the way, I don't know if you're going to get sick from that. What you get sick from is I want something really bad and an unhealthy level of wanting it, and you're not getting it, and you are getting sick. This guy, well, let's see. Let's see if he loves her. Look at number two, three, verse three. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. Basically, this was Amnon's cousin. And Jonadab was very crafty. He said, "Why are you the king's son becoming thinner and thinner day after day? Will you not tell me?" Ammon said, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Everyone say love. You will be told over and over again, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And fellas, let me say this to you. Whenever you say that, be careful what you mean. Be careful to only say it if you really know what it means and you really believe it. In other words, if you could say, "I love you," which means I am so committed to helping you obey God, and there is no motive behind me saying it to get something. Because if a guy says to you, "Yo, girl, I love you," and he's inching closer, and he starts getting that little swerve on like that, something's up. Give him the Heisman. You know what I'm saying? Verse 5. Jonadab said, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill." He's telling him what his cousin should do. "And when your father comes to see you, say, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me food. Prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretend to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let tomorrow my sister come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I may eat it from her hand." Let me ask you, guys, be honest. How many of you either faked or exaggerated a sickness just to get a woman to give you a little TLC? Raise your hand up real high. Come on, fellas. Come on, fellas. I know there's more than that. Thank you. Probably putting two hands up. Look at that. Dogs. There we go. What's up, fellas? Thank you for being honest. I appreciate it. I'm with you right there. I'm with you, bro. Hey, okay. Any guy who didn't raise his hand is lying. But that's just me. I'm just speculating. Verse 7. David said, "Sent home to Tamar, saying, 'Now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food.'" So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. I really appreciate you brothers being honest over there. I really appreciate that. And then she took flour and kneaded it and made the cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. By the way, we'll have some counseling for you after we get out. No, I'm kidding. Verse 9, and she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me." They all went out from him. Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat it from your hand." Tamar took the cakes which she made, brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. And when she had brought them in to him to eat, he took her hold of her and said, "Come lie with me, my sister." Number two in your notes, lust manipulates people while love speaks the truth. Lust will tell somebody what they want to hear, how they want to hear it, just so they can get what they want. Ladies, let me ask you a question. How many of you feel like some guy told you something that you wanted to hear to get something he wanted? Mm-hmm. Ladies, do this. Mm-hmm. Come on, bob your head now. Roll your neck. Get the attitude. I guess I don't have to elaborate on that. Verse 12. She answered and said, "No, my brother, do not force me." Everyone say force. "For no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And where could I take my shame?" Number three in your notes, lust forces sinful disobedience, but love encourages God obedience. Love says, "I will do whatever I have to help you obey God." Lust says, I am going to do whatever I can to get you to do what I want, to disobey God. If some guy says to you, or whatever, says, I love you, and any person says to you, I love you, and then they try to entice you to do something that's sinful, whatever that may be, hey, man, you know I love you, let's go rob the bank, whatever it is. Because, you know, we have these very strong emotional relations with people, and we always say it's love, but it's not always love. Sometimes it's just lust. Sometimes it's just pride. You know, you do something really bad with some guys, it's real prideful, and your testosterone's flowing, and you think that's love. And the devil can mix all that in. And because it's love, it must be okay. And then, so it justifies everything you do with that person. It justifies you defending that person. You can have a friend that kills somebody in a gang, and he's your brother, and you guys did all this stuff together, and someone kills him because he did something scandalous, and then you justify doing something wrong based on what was done wrong because it's all in the name of love. That's not love. Loving God is obedience. Everyone say obedience. As soon as you take God obedience out of anything you do, you have taken love out. You cannot have love and disobedience together. It's not. Now, I love my wife. I can still do something disobedient, but it's not in the name of love. It's not in the name of love. And so obedience has to be in it. As soon as you take obedience out, it's not love anymore. And so what he was saying is, I love you, and then he was forcing her. Those two things. There's a thing, a law of logic. A law of logic is the law of non-contradiction. And basically it says this, is that something can't be something and at the same time not be something. Example, you can't say this is a Bible, and then at the same time it's not a Bible. That contradicts. Okay, so when you say, I love you, but I want to disobey God, that's a contradiction. Those two things cannot be together. It's because you have to equate the word love to obedience. What he's doing is, I'm going to force you to do something that is wrong, and I'm going to do something wrong to you, but yet I love you. No. And if in your relationships you have a person, and it doesn't even have to be someone you're married to or dating, it's just a person you have a relationship with, and you are, both of you or a group of you, are involved in sinful behavior, illegal activity, however you want to categorize it, is not love. And you need to know that. And the reason why you need to know that is because you don't want to be deceived to think that that's what love is. Because I know people get in a relationship and they think, okay, here's the routine. I meet the guy, he buys me dinner, blah, 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 blah. I feel good. I like him, he's cute, he has muscles, and so I sleep with him. Right? I mean, but you know what I'm saying, right? People think that. He's got all his teeth. Oh my goodness. And then you go through this routine and you have this little thing, this little voice in the back of your head because of how culture is. I have to do this soon. I have to kiss him soon. I have to do this soon. And I have to sleep with him soon. That is not God telling you that. That's the world, the devil telling you that. And the God says, no, I have whole different rules. Now, by the way, if you do it the devil's way, you will suffer. Stuff will happen. You will be used and abused. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to see that in a minute. You will be heartbroken. You will be left empty. You feel bad about yourself, you won't have lasting relationships that are as meaningful as they could be, if they last at all. So sin always brings death. Love always brings life. If you sow to the flesh, or if you obey your carnal desires, death will happen. If you obey your spiritual, the Holy Spirit, life will happen. And so God has given fair warning. And by the way, all you have to do is look around at your friends. I doubt that y'all don't have personal experience, but if you want more reinforcement, just look at all your friends. And they'll tell you, oh, it's so good, and a month go by, oh, it's so good, and maybe years will go by, oh, it's so good, and then boom, it falls apart. Why? Because you don't do it this way. If you do it this way, and I really mean this, fellas, if you find a woman and you love her God's way, and she loves you God's way, you will stay together, and you will be happy. You will. Because that's how it works. When we hit the Yes on 8, No on 8 campaign, Prop 8 campaign, one of the arguments that the No on 8 people had that was correct was that married people can't stay married. That is correct. But it's not because marriage is messed up. It's because those people are messed up. It doesn't have anything to do with what marriage is. It has to do with those people. But if those people do the right thing, which they should, especially those who say they're Christian, because if you do it God's way, it works. The only reason Christians don't get along and don't stay married is because they don't do it God's way from the beginning. And by the way, what I mean by that is that you pick the woman God told you to pick and you court her and have a relationship with her from the beginning the way God said. And in other words, you don't meet somebody drunk in a bar, get married, and all of a sudden get saved the next day and say, okay, now God fix all that, and you find out that it wasn't even a woman you married. You know, I mean, I was just telling you, man, it's 2008. You never know. and then you blame it on God. For real, you blame it on God. God, how'd you get me this? Well, hey, I didn't tell you to go to that bar. I didn't tell you to get married without looking, you know, open your eyes. I didn't tell you any of that stuff. You know, you did all that. Don't blame that on me. And don't ask me to fix it. But anyway, look at verse 12. Verse 14. However, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. And when Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred which he hated her was greater than the love which he loved her. Did he love her or lust her? Why does he hate her? I'm going to tell you why. Number four in your notes. Lust hates responsibility. Lust hates responsibility while love fulfills its responsibilities. Ladies, don't raise your hand. Don't comment. Just think. Have you ever had a guy tell you, oh, you look good, oh, you smell good, oh, this, do, 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 you're so pretty, and all this stuff? Some of y'all know what that's from, right? Are you cheerleader? And then you give him what he wants, and then all of a sudden, he's busy. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. You mean, oh, I'll call you. Don't call me. I'll call you. I'm busy for the next few days. Oh, I'm just tied up. I'll get back with you. Why? Because he got what he wanted. It was never about love. It was always about lust. It was always about what he wanted. And by the way, as long as I get what I want, what I don't want is what I don't want, which is responsibility, which is commitment, which is being faithful, which is being godly. I'm not really into that. I'm just into getting what I want, manipulating and forcing all the stuff we just saw Amnon do. That's what I'm about. It's all about what's in the heart. I was walking in the lobby a few months ago, and we have a school here from first grade to 12th grade, and the kids were coming out of assembly or something, and this kid walks up to me. I've never seen him. I don't even know who he is. He just walked up to me, and he just says, Pastor Miles, is it wrong to masturbate? I'm doing what I'm doing now. I did that. I was like, how you doing? What's happening, man? What's your name? I mean, you know, is having a good day? Let's talk about masturbation. Yeah, what would you like to know? So it caught me off guard. Because there was no context. We didn't just have assembly on sex and nothing like that. It was just, hey, by the way. So when he said it to me, I was like, and then he said, you know, and then gave another way of saying it that I can't say today. I was like, I know what it means, brother. You know what was a blessing about it? That he asked. That he felt comfortable enough to ask. And it wasn't like he said, you know, can we go in the corner here? You know, it was like people were just walking by and he's just like, hey, man. It's like, you the man, okay? I know about 500 of y'all wondering what I said to him. I said, it's all about what's going on in your heart. Because what's going on in your heart is that you're lusting after something. You're having videos playing in your mind. You're watching something on the internet. You're reading a book. You're imagining. You commit adultery and sexual immorality in your mind. That's the sin. That's the sin. And so what Amnon had in his heart the whole time was evil and wicked. And if you are a lust-driven person, if you're into pornography or whatever, it will poison your relationship with every woman you meet. Every woman. And I'm not talking about every woman you date. I'm talking about every woman you say hello to. Every woman you see, it will poison that. And you will impose these videos in your mind on them. You impose your expectation on them. And when you have a relationship, you will impose all of that you saw and imagined on that person. And it will not work. It won't. You have to deal with that, fellas. Pornography is a multi-billion dollar business because men are lustful, over the top. I want you to imagine Jesus is the groom and the church is the bride. Don't imagine that. That's a fact in the Bible. But I want you to imagine if Jesus as the groom didn't love his church, but he lusted his church. There would be no church. He would kill us. But what he did was he loved the church and said, I'm going to give the church all the spiritual gifts and the blessings in the heavenly places. I'm going to die and lay down my life for the church. I'm going to encourage the church. I'm going to build the church up. And when the church and the people mess up, I'm going to lift them up and use them and make their life even more productive after than before. That's what he does. And as a man, all you fellas out there, that is your job, your responsibility from God to do that with one woman. Why? Because one, it's about being faithful. But two, it takes all that you have to do it right to one woman. If you do that as a fella, as a guy, if you say, here are all the things in my life that's prevent me from doing that. If you just said, I'm going to deal with all that stuff. Now you're talking about being a man of God. And I see it way too often. Hey, Pastor Miles, hey, this, you know, Jesus, word. And they have a secret, dark, deep, dark secret. They're married, they're not married. They're successful, well-grown, whatever, but they got this deep, dark secret. You think no one knows? God knows everything. And that right there will disqualify you from a whole lot of blessings in your life. And then there's ladies out there who have been victimized. And I'm not saying ladies don't victimize men and don't take advantage of men and don't manipulate men, because that happens. Can I get an amen? Ladies. Amen. Yes. Ladies. Amen. Mm-hmm. Fellas, can I get amen?
Amen.
And you know what's the thing about ladies is that, and I'm going to stick up for you ladies a little bit, because I think, and this is just my opinion means what? Very good. So I'm going to try to hook you up, but it doesn't mean anything, so really that's on you. Is that ladies somewhat, and I know that there's she-devils, I know that evil and wicked, connive and all that kind of stuff, y'all have just as simple nature as we do, but sometimes women do stuff and you don't even know it. I was talking to this girl, she was 5. And the way I was talking, she was like, And I don't really believe this girl knew what she was doing, but you put 20 years in that girl and have her do all that. What's that all about? What's all the little wiggle jiggle all about? And you think, well, I'm just gonna buy this little cute little dress, but you don't know what that cute little dress is gonna send 5 dudes to the hospital. Okay? Driving off the road or whatever. And my point is this, is that yeah, there's men that are evil and wicked, there's women that are evil and wicked, but ladies, for all of you who have been victimized. For y'all who have been victimized and you guys who have your issue, and guys have been victimized too as well. Let's acknowledge that. But there's a scar on your soul. And it's through that scar that you will see people of the opposite sex, your same gender. It's through that scar you will see yourself. It's through that scar you will see God. And God, the devil wants to use that scar to distort your view of yourself and everybody else and God. So what the devil wants to do, he wants to scar you young and hope that you never get it fixed and it ruins you for life. That's what he wants to do. You may have heard it said that all sin is the same. That is a lie. Did I tell you that already? All sin is not the same. 5-year-old girl, she's molested. 5-year-old girl, and by the way, that's not her sin. She was sinned against. 5-year-old girl has a candy bar stolen from her. Which one is worse? This one. Of course, it's not the same. Matter of fact, the Bible says that sexual sin is the worst sin because you committed against your body. That's why the Bible talks so much about it. That's why I'm so passionate about trying to protect you from it. Even when you voluntarily do it, you are sinning against your body and you are hurting yourself. You don't realize it. And so what happens is what the devil wants to do is he wants to go for the high price, high leverage sin, which is sexual sin. And once he could scar you sexually, he could scar your image of yourself, your image and your relationship with other people, and he's got you. Unless you say, God, please help me. Please erase those videos from my mind. Please erase this perception from my mind. Please erase these expectations and make my expectations on my spouse to be or my spouse biblical. Please help me treat women or men with respect that the Bible says. Help me do that. And fellas, if you don't get that right, you will never have God's intended marriage. Never. You can't. And every woman to you is going to be a thing. Matter of fact, I want to read something to you. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. It says, he called his servant who attended to him and said, put her out. Or it really means put the woman thing out. She wasn't even a person anymore. She was a thing, an object to him, a means to an end. And verse 18, she had on a robe of many colors. I'm sorry, verse 17. He called the servant, attended to him, and said, here, put this woman out away from me and bolt the door. Now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin's daughters wore such apparel, and his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Tamar put ashes on her head, tore her robe of many colors that was on her, laid her hand in her head, and went away crying. Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? And look what he tells her. Hold your peace. He's your brother. Don't take this to heart. In other words, don't worry about it. Let me tell you. Take it to heart. Don't hold your peace. Talk about it. Tell somebody. Get some help. We want to help you. The more you hold it in, the more damage the devil can do in your life, and the more he can lie to you and destroy you and frustrate you and bring you down. You have to deal with it, and as many facets of dealing with it. I'm not a counselor, but I will tell you this. Unless you forgive yourself for what you think you did, even though you probably did nothing, but the devil will tell you did something, but unless you forgive that person, what that means is that you release them of the responsibility to fix you, because they are not the one to fix you. God is. And you let it go. It will drive you crazy. You will start binging. You will start doing drugs and alcohol. You start sleeping around. All the self-destructive behavior to deal with that pain. God wants to deal with that pain. The devil wants to use that pain to destroy you. And then once you do all that stuff, now look what you did to your life as a result of it. But yet it wasn't your fault. But still you acted out after all those years. God wants to break that demonic cycle. You're not demon-possessed, but it's just demonic in nature. He wants to, but he can't unless you say, God, here I am. So we're going to pray, and there's two groups of y'all. There's many, many of y'all, but the one is, there's guys in here, God wants to purify you. Please, don't go home and get on the computer. Don't get home and get on the internet, because that is not a real person. That's not a real relationship, I should say. It's a trap. And ladies, don't walk out of here saying, I can deal with it myself. We weren't meant to deal with anything ourselves. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for being a God who heals us. I thank you for being a God who knows our deep, dark secrets and loves us anyway. I thank you that you have a plan for our life. And Lord, all around this room, there's pain, there's scars, there's hurt, anger, resentment, depression. You can heal all that. There are people in here with sin. They have their secrets. They think no one knows, but you know. But you can forgive them and you can heal them. Lord, there are relationships in this room the devil is working 24 hours a day to destroy. But if they surrender those relationships to you, you can protect them. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for giving us hope. As I'm praying, if you would like us to pray for you, if you would like to, we would like to talk to you, you want to surrender your issues to the Lord, I'm just going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is stand up, turn, and walk up and the ushers will bring you down. God has spoken to some of you today, and you know it's time to walk away from your junk. So God is asking you, I'm asking you right now, I encourage you to get up out of your seat and come on down. And let God love on you. Some of you have secrets you need to deal with. It's tearing you up and it won't go away. Let's give it to the Lord. Just get up out of your seat and come on down. God bless you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Fellas, come on down. God is looking for men of God to do the right thing. Come on down. Lord, I pray that you give people courage. I pray you give people strength to surrender everything to you. Everything. God is a God who heals. He's a God who restores. He's a God who loves. He's a God who cleanses and forgives. He's a God who fixes lives. And you know in your heart the pain. You know in your heart the misery. You know in your heart the sin. You know in your heart the destruction. So don't ignore it. Let God deal with it. Just get up out of your seat and come on down. Bring your wife. Bring your husband. Surrender your relationship. It may not even have a whole lot of dysfunction. You just want God to make it better. Come on down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.